Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Builders Developmental Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. You can reach us at 313-583-9739. Prophetess Teresa Dox.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, to whom all glory is due. I want to thank you. I am just grateful for what God has already done. And when you get into a place that you can go into prayer and meditation, not only talk to him, allow him to speak to you. Let's take a few minutes and tap in. tap in to supernatural things.
Yes, the Lord is good. When you think about his goodness, think about the things that you didn't do that you should have done.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you begin to think about the goodness of God, when you begin to think about the things that God have already done, and you begin to be grateful, when you start being grateful, when God wants us to appreciate the little things, not expect a whole lot, but also expecting him to move, don't get me wrong, but be grateful for the things that you already have. Sometimes we are so inconsiderate of God's grace and of God's mercy. Sometimes we're so inconsiderate when people are kind to us, because people don't have to be kind to us. It's only by his grace and mercy. It's not that we deserve it. It's because he chose to favor us. Amen. So let us be blessed with the word today. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Tyrell as he introduced the message for today. I thank you, Father, that you're moving by your spirit. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to everything that's not like you, that is under the authority of your word. I come against every condescending spirit, and I bind it up, and I send it to the pit from whence it came. And I release your glory upon the people of God so that your word may go out and do what it was sent to do. You said your word went out and it healed the people. So, Father, as we send your word, we receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to hide me behind the cross. And let your word speak. Let your spirit speak. Let your anointing speak. And Father, and the people are healed because your word went forth. In the name of Jesus, God, we yield our ways to you. And we thank you for super ruling over our lives. In the name of Jesus, let the people of God say yes and amen. Say yes. Open your heart and say yes. Close your mouth, but open your heart and say yes. Say yes to the Lord. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your heart rejoice. Let your heart rejoice. Let your spirit rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, magnify the Lord. How do we magnify the Lord? We call everything into one place, our body, our soul, and our spirit, all one. And when you are in total agreement with the word of God, your spirit can magnify the Lord, and you can begin to say, Lord, use me. Amen, amen, amen. I want to just thank God for my husband and for the ministry and all that God have given my hands to do. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for saying yes in spite of. Amen. If you're willing to open up your mouth, God can use you. If you're willing to be set free from condemnation, God can use you. If you're willing to be a seeker of souls, to be a seeker of salvation for men and women, God can use you. Amen. He said, I'll use you if you let me. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not about us. It is all about him. Didn't you know that we're going to go through some things to get to some things? Amen. He said, if you're not willing to reign with me, if you're not willing to suffer with me, you're definitely not willing to reign with me. But you have to suffer with Christ so that you can be developed in Christ. He said, if you're not willing to suffer, you can't reign. It's almost like a ride or die. You can't ride with me, you can't die with me. Amen. We're talking about today the imitation of life. I want you to get that in your spirit. Imitation of life. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to take you to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 21. Amen. We know the word of God is blessed. Every single time you open up your mouth, every single time that you even flip the scriptures, when you make a decision, I'm going to search the word today. When you make a decision, I'm going to get in his presence today. When you touch his word, his holy word, you're seeking, you're hungry, you're thirsty for knowledge and for truth. So you open up your Bible and you begin to seek what God has to say. So we're talking about the imitation of life, the power of imitating Christ. Amen. Amen. And we're talking about the triumph entry when Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus came into our life, when he made entry, when things began to change, you know, you wasn't like you used to be. And usually this sermon is preached during the Holy Week. But I want to tell you something. Every day, every week is a Holy Week. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. As we are seeking a deeper understanding in our life, whether it's our natural life, our spiritual life, as well as our relationship with God, it's important for us to know that we have to be the narrative of our story. We have to narrate our story by the word of God. We have to try the spirits by the spirit so that we can know if it's God. We'll know if we're doing what God want us to do. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And the Bible says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, that means they were going somewhere. Amen. He was going somewhere. You know that every day, and I'm going to do this just a little bit different, but I want you to get the picture. I want you to understand that this imitation of life, we imitate Christ in our life. And I know we all have read or saw the movie Imitation of Life, how the young woman didn't know her identity. Amen. She didn't know what she was supposed to do. She didn't know her nature. She didn't know if she was African-American. She didn't know what persuasion she was from, even though her skin was light and her mother was a maid. Amen. And I know most of us saw the story. And I want you to see sometime as Christians, sometime as believers, sometime as followers of Christ, we don't understand our true identity as we imitate the life of Christ. Amen. Imitating who God has called us to be, not just sometime, but all the time. Amen. All the time. See, it was on the Mount of Olives when Jesus sent two disciples and saying to them, amen. I can hear him talking. Glory to God. I hear the Lord speaking. When Jesus sent the two disciples and he's saying unto them, he said to them, go unto the village opposite you. He said, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied. See, sometimes God want to speak to us and he want to send us somewhere or he want us to do some things. And he was saying to them, you're going to find this donkey and the donkey going to be tied and a coat with her. Amen. He said, loose them and bring them unto me. Set them free and bring them unto me. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Set them free. Speak the word. Give them solutions. But he told his disciples to loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. See, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a coat, the foal of a donkey. Listen, women of God, and I'm not just speaking to women. I'm speaking to the people of God, but particularly to women. Behold, your king is coming. And he's not going to be all flashy. He's not going to be all about him. He's going to be lowly. He's going to be meek. He's going to be humble. He's going to be able to love you like Christ loved the church. I'm talking to somebody. But listen, let's continue what the word of God is saying. So the disciples went. They obeyed what Christ told them to do and did as Jesus commanded them. They bought the donkey and the coat, and they laid their clothes over them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. That lets you know their clothes didn't mean anything to them. And others cut down branches from the tree and spread them on the road. They was preparing for him to come. They was preparing for just that moment that they was making preparation. Then the multitude who went before them and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of the King. Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to see yourself preparing for the king to make his entry into your life. And I also want you to see your enemy as your footstool. I want you to see people preparing the way for you, because you made a decision. You made a decision to give your life to Christ. You made a decision to imitate Christ, almost like the imitation of life. But you made a decision that you're going to emulate the King of Kings, that you're going to live by the word of God, that you're going to cause the flesh to die, and you're going to let your spirit live. Because you understand at the end of the thing, there's a hallelujah, there's a hosanna, there's victory, there's a triumph. You won because you made some decisions to deny yourself and to follow him, amen, to give up some things, to go through some things, to get to some things, amen. Because we know that we narrate our story, amen? We know that the heart of the king is in God's hand. So the bottom line is, God's not going to make us do anything. He's not going to take your hand and say, nope, don't do that. Well, he will, but if we don't hear him, we're going to make our own choices. Amen. And we fall in different situations. We're going to accuse God. We're going to accuse the devil. We're going to find somebody to hold accountable. Anybody but ourselves. Amen. He did it. She did it. They did it. But we didn't do it. Amen. And if the Lord shifts me, I want you to just go with me. Amen. Because I'm open to the voice of the Lord. I'm open to hear what he's saying. And because we narrate our story by the choices that we make, we're walking through life imitating the world or imitating Christ. So I want you to understand your story. I want you to look back, and I want you to see the things that God has brought us through. Remember the time when you couldn't pay the bill? Remember the time when it was one death after another? Remember the time that you thought you were right and you were so wrong? Remember the time when you were so proud and you didn't want to say, forgive me? Remember the time when you told those lies? Remember the time when you took something that didn't belong to you? But God, he didn't give up on you. I want to tell somebody to make your flesh obey you. Make your flesh obey. Amen. Let me give you some examples of what God wants us to emulate. Let me give you some examples how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they began to narrate the story of Jesus, how they composed the story of Jesus in the gospel. And they were all in different geographical areas. And they were all telling the same story. Can you imagine? You got your auntie over here and your uncle over there and somebody in a different region, and we all telling the same story. And we haven't even talked. We haven't even texted one another. We haven't even Googled one another. We didn't even Facebook one another. We didn't even app. We didn't have the apps to connect. We wasn't Zooming. But we was telling the same story. Well, that's what happened with Mark, Luke, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were giving the story of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want you to focus on you right now. I want you to narrate your story. What did you do for Christ lately? I mean, really, what? I hear the Lord saying, what have you done for me lately? Have you fed the hungry? Have you clothed the naked? Have we visited a jail cell? You know, have we gave of our need? It's okay to give up your extra. But have you given of your need? Have you did some things that made you the sacrifice? You know, have you been lied on and you let the lie stand so that someone else can be healed? What have you done for me lately, says the Lord? We're talking about the imitation of life. We go through some things. And how we, I was saying to my nephew this morning, it's not so much of what happened to you. It's about how we handle it. It's about how we handle it. How are you handling these situations that maybe the enemy is using against you, but maybe God has allowed these things to happen so he can grow us up, so he can develop us, so that when we emulate him, people can see God in us. Sometimes we're so engulfed about what we want, what we need, we forget all about Christ. So we're really emulating our needs. We're emulating what we want. You ever seen someone, they always have their hand out no matter what you do? It's almost like they're saying, what have you done for me lately? And that's what the Lord is saying to us today. What have you done for me lately as you're emulating me? You know, have you paid your tithes? Okay, yeah, a lot of churches not open, but God has always been open. He didn't shut down. This pandemic didn't affect him. So not only did we stop supporting ministry, not only did we forget about the needs of the people of God, the leadership, we shut down with the pandemic. We stopped because we emulate the world when we do that. Hallelujah. Don't sleep on God, somebody. Keep yourself busy. Keep yourself going. Keep it moving. And as Jesus was making his entry, and they were throwing the cloth and the clothes, and they wanted him to walk on something soft, I assume, because they was preparing the way. And you know the story of the Passion of Christ, how he went through so much. And when we go through something, oh me, oh my, I want you to be encouraged today and understand that there's nothing too hard for God. There's absolutely nothing too hard for God. Stay connected. Stay connected. Keep your ears open. See, sometimes when we lose a loved one, God's trying to get our attention. Sometimes when we lose a job, God's trying to get our attention. Sometimes when we go through stress and pain and anxiety and fears and loss of our finances, loss of our homes, sometimes God is trying to knock on our door. Because God wants to use us so we can tell others that the King of Glory is coming. Let me tell you what happens when he comes. See, when he comes, you are at a place of peace. See, when he comes, you are at a place of serenity. When he comes, there's a oneness with your body, soul, and spirit. When he comes, the little things don't bother you. See, when he comes, you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake. When he comes, you begin to see the future. When he comes, you begin to want more of Christ because it's good for your soul. You began to rise up early. See, the Bible says, early shall I seek thee. And if we seek him early, we'll find him, not only early in our life, but early in our days. I'm talking to somebody. See, Matthew had Jesus, and his disciples and the diverse crowd that Jesus gathered on his way to Jerusalem, expressing their resistance to a dominating status of the Roman rule. Remember, the Romans was ruling, and the religious complexity in that rule, the Roman leadership had them under control. What have you under control? Is it a substance? Is it your finance? Is it people? What Roman rule have you under control? Is it food? Is it unforgiveness? What is it? Find yourself in this walk with Christ. Find out what spirit, find out what situation, find out what's keeping you from walking in God's best. Find out. Look in the mirror and ask God to allow you to see what portal is open. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming to sacrifice himself. He's coming to block that accident. He's coming so all of your needs could be met. But he's waiting on you to say, yes, Lord, I've sinned. And he's quick and faithful and just to forgive us. So don't let nobody put you in a place of condemnation, be it mother, father, sister, brother, auntie, uncle. Don't walk in condemnation, because what happens is you allow Jesus dying on the cross to be all in vain, because he said, I came, hallelujah, to set you free. I came to make you a son, a daughter of the King, mother of Zion. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want you to understand that we all have some issues that we have to deal with. We haven't arrived. When we get there, we'll be in glory. Hallelujah. But we're going to seek the ways of God. We're going to seek the things of the kingdom. Wake up, somebody. Hallelujah. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The King is coming. I'm telling you. Wake up, walk, 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 run, dance, jump. Wake up, because Jesus is in the house. When you sleep, when he is coming, you put your flesh under subjection and you say, I am triumphing in God. He's coming. You better rise up and do the things of God. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get you in that spiritual place. That every day that you go through something, that you realize that God is trying to tell you something. It's not about your situation. It's not about your circumstances. It's all about you submitting to the will of God. It's all about you saying, yes, Lord. Amen. They was mocking Jesus, because here you got Jesus, this great Son of God. And he's on his path to his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. So let's associate his suffering with our suffering. Our suffering does not compare to his suffering. We're talking about the imitation of life. What goes with life? What goes with it? The Bible says that when we come into this world, we think it's a good thing. But when we come into this world, there's a lot of things that come with it. Man is full of trouble. There's trouble that comes with it. That's why God gave us his word. That's why God gave us Jesus, so that we're able to bear the things of the world. We're able to bear what comes with this imitation of life. I'm trying to take you where you can imitate Christ and you can carry the load by imitating him. Amen. Because when you imitate him, guess what? You're going to reign with him. You're going to win with him. Let all the troubles, the stress, those situations that seem big, make them small and make our God large. He's large, hallelujah, and he is in charge. Somebody say, he's large and in charge. He's large and in charge, I'm telling you, and you have favor. So I want you to start where you are. I want you to see the disciples seeing the acts of resistance that's coming against Christ. I want you to see the people that once was with him, now they're throwing and they're saying, crucify him. I want you to begin to see them say, he did it, and let the guilty go and kill the innocent. I want you to begin to see that there's nobody like Jesus. I want you to begin to hug on him, begin to love on him, begin to say, you know what, I tried it my way. Lord, I'm gonna submit to you. I'm gonna give up my Roman Empire. Amen. I'm gonna cause my flesh to represent the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, your flesh will begin to die. Your flesh will begin to die. And your spirit will begin to live. And when people come to you with that gossip, when people come to you with problems, say, let's pray. And then begin to tell them about the goodness of God. Begin to tell them that you want them to imitate Christ. Begin to tell them it's just the imitation of life. Life is perverted. It is an inversion of the value of life according to the Creator. See, God, who gave us life, but he wants us to live life according to his will. Let thou will be done. Let thy will be done in your life. So what do we have to do? Let me give you some solutions. I want you to begin to see Christ. Begin to see him in his suffering. And what happened after he suffered? What happened? What happened? Come on. I want you to see it. He triumphed. And he is now seated on the right-hand side of the Father. He's praying for each and every one of us that we will be able to join him. Because there's two judgments. Which one are you going to be in? See, God's going to look at our obedience as Christians, our obedience to his word, to his will, to the things that he called us to do. So what do you have in your hand? What gifts are you holding on to? He wants you to use them. Use them. Because he gave us these gifts, and it's not for us. It's all to magnify his kingdom. Sing for his glory. Dance for his glory. Play that instrument for his glory. Preach for his glory. Teach for his glory. Forgive for his glory. Give for his glory. Amen? God wants us to represent the kingdom in this imitation of life. So people come to you often and they have a problem. They come, they have issues. So we allow their issues sometimes to overwhelm us, to overtake us, but we are atmosphere setters. So we are to what? Turn the thermometer up. Turn the gauge up. We set the atmosphere. Cause the fire of God to come, that it may burn out everything that's not like God. Because he's coming, the king is coming down the road. And he's making his entrance in their life. And he want to use us, his disciples, to cause the manifestation to come. So we have to connect ourselves with people with kindred spirits. Why do we need to do that? Why? Because if people have a kindred spirit, guess what? They want what we want. They want what Christ wants. And then when you connect yourself with these people, when you go out, then you pour out what's in you into them, and guess what happens? They start to emulate Christ. And that's why Jesus is still alive today. Because when the world thought he was dead, he didn't die. He died, but he didn't stay dead, should I say. And he's still alive in our spirits. He's still alive in our soul. And every time we open our mouth, we pass it on, his life. So you think about, you have children. And when you have children, most kids try to emulate their parents. But what are we showing our children? Are we showing them the peace of God, the love of God, the meekness of God, the long-suffering? What are we sowing into our children's life? Because as they try to emulate or imitate life, we have to teach them how to imitate Christ. Amen. And then when we mess up, tell them, yeah, I messed up too. Oh, I went through that too. Don't make them think that you have arrived. Let them know that you went through that too. Your lights were cut off. Your gas were cut off. Your phone was cut off. You was evicted. Tell them your story. Tell them you was broken. You wrote a check and you had to wait to get paid to put the money in there. Tell them so they can understand that we all went through. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was saying she didn't want her daughter to know how she used to live. And I just heard the Lord say, tell her to tell them. And she began to tell her children. And I tell you now, they're all set free. They're all set free. And I remember, and I know my mom don't mind me telling, I remember when our utilities was off and we would have a blanket in the closet, I mean, over the post to keep the heat in the room. But guess what? God gathered us all together and we bonded. Hallelujah. It worked together for the good. God is good. It's always something in our loss that's heaven's gain. I remember when we didn't have water. And my mom knew the water was going to be cut off, so guess what she started doing? She started filling the buckets and filling the pitchers so we'd have water. And it would last until the water got cut back on. Imitation of life. It goes with the territory. But it's not what happens to you. It's how we handle it. See, the king will be coming, and when he comes, he's humble. He don't come in a conquering way. He came riding on a donkey. He came riding on a donkey, and then the Bible said, and her coat. He didn't come on chariots. He could have, but he wanted to be unassuming. He didn't come in no Jaguar. He didn't come in no Cadillac. He didn't come in no Bentley. He could have came in a helicopter. And guess what? He could have came, he could have just popped up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I Dream a Genie. He could have just like, boom, here I am. And he could just disappear. Boom, I'm gone. But he came humble. I want to encourage you. Stay humble so God can use us. Never get above yourself. Always stay in a place of humility. See, Matthew's, and I think about, he didn't recite the next verse of the citation from Zechariah, but it's worth hearing so we can see how meek and humble and even God's value and God's kingdom, his way of responding compared to sometimes the way we act. This is what he said in Zechariah 9 and 10. He said, he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse, Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nation. His dominion shall be from the sea to sea, from the river to the end of the earth. See, Prophet Zechariah said that when the king come, I want you to say this to yourself, when the king come, peace comes. When the king come, fulfillment come. When the king come, overflow come. When the king come, this is what he said, he will be coming to command a region of peace. So we're studying war no more. This imitation of life can be a life filled with peace, can be a life filled with purpose. But we have to stay focused on the will of God. See, when we are focusing on chasing the will of God for our life, all of these other things will be added. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his ways, and then all of these things will be added. What I'm trying to say is when you emulate life, there is pain and suffering that is unmeasurable. But when you emulate Christ, there's pain and suffering that's measurable because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rule in your life when situations come. Amen. When you put your card on the internet and you find out somebody charged $2,000, you go on ballistic, but there's nobody for you to correct and check. But you still got God's peace. He's coming. The king is coming. And the king is going to win. So Jesus go on a donkey, and in the procession that was meant to mock both the Jews and the Roman entry, the procession, Jesus came riding prophetically into a city that loved to kill the prophets. They were seeking to involve the claim of God's empire against the claim of the Romans' empire. And the claim of peace against the claim of war, and the claim of deliverance against the claim of domination, the claim of truth, true life, and a new life against the claim of the imitation of life. See, we may as well be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and make your declaration, I shall not be moved. Yes, the wind gonna blow. Yes, the water gonna come up high. Yes, but I shall not be moved. Amen. Because I am the church of God marching, and I shall not be moved. Call on Hosanna. Hosanna, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let him come in your spirit. Let him rule your days. Let him cause your thoughts to be like him. We already know that some of those same people who were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, by the time the week was over, put your trust in God. Because man will let you down. God made it that way so he can be God in your life. Amen, amen, amen. I can go on and on, but I just want to let you know, if you have, blessed be the one who come in the name of the Lord, anointing, and let him live in you, when you make your entry, the King has come. How about that, somebody? You win with Christ. You win because you know how to handle situations, and you grow daily, and you have a teachable spirit. Always be teachable. When God sends wisdom to you or somebody with wisdom, be teachable. Learn. Adapt. Change. Grow. Confess. Forgive. And go on about the Father's business. That's what Jesus did. So he did what he had to do. He died on the cross. He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And guess what? He's still alive today. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Well, you know as I know, we do communion every single Sunday because he says as much as we do it in remembrance of him. I want you to prepare your communion because even though you sit at the table and you begin to eat, you begin to learn more about Christ. Follow the laws of the Spirit. So as we do this, all we're saying to the world is we want him in us. We want to have the power and the strength to go through things. We want to have the anointing to win. So we drink of his blood, not literally his blood, people of God, but we drink of his will. We drink. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would please pour that in the cups for me. Thank you, Jesus. And as we convert from natural use to spiritual use, we do it by faith, just a tidbit. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And as we see that this is the suffering of Christ, as we emulate him, as we see what we prepare is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in our sanctified imagination, when we take the bread and we take the wine and we know that it is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, all that means is that we're willing to suffer with him so that we may reign with him. Amen. Amen. Not literally drinking his blood, not literally eating up his body.